Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 420. Dave actually showed up, so.
And I am here.
We are impressed that he wasn't doing other things.
Why are you here, Dave?
It was a close call, okay. To be honest, but.
Lie down, buddy.
Dave. Long day. Long, hot day. Dogs wanting to go out all the time. This was long day, but I'm here. Dave's here. Who else is here tonight?
Pat's here.
Brandon.
Spencer.
Okay. Mike promised he'll be here next week. Oh. Said he's only read 3 books in the last month or something, so he had nothing to talk about.
I find that difficult for him.
That he had nothing to talk about. Yeah. Not that he only read 3 books.
Yeah.
I could see that part of it.
So, I'm trying to think, was there any news? There was something last week. Shoot. Well, today they announced there was a new Tom King book. He's doing a Rorschach book. I haven't looked a lot into it. It's like, don't announce things on Wednesdays.
But, I know. Is it going to be the kid Rorschach?
It's Black Label, so... Yeah.
No, but is it going to be Rorschach from the original Watchmen or the new Rorschach, which was the kid of the Doctor? Spoiler alert for a 4-year-old book that took 2 years to come out.
Maybe it's both.
And I like Tom King, so I'd read it no matter what. Right. Drinking problem?
No, I was trying to just lift up the bottom of the mast to take a drink, and then the whole thing just kind of collapsed on itself. And I was like, I don't think this is how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, for our listeners, we all wear masks.
Yeah, we're the masked podcasters, so that's why we might sound a little bit like, I have your wife, do not call the police.
My wife yelled at me because every time I put it on, I kept talking like Bane, and she's like, knock it off.
I don't see you doing that, Pat. Yeah. I'm really surprised by that.
No one cared who I was until I put the mask on.
Shoot, I know something big happened the end of last week, darn it. It was like Thursday or Friday. Darn it.
I don't
remember what it was now. Sorry. I guess.
Do we have questions? Because someone may have asked.
Oh, I totally forgot to ask. I was too busy today, and I totally forgot to ask.
I saw they're making a Netflix show out of Soggy Ojimbo.
I did see that. Yeah, that was today. Yeah, they announced that today.
Animated. Yeah, yeah.
It's live action rabbit.
CGI. They could have done it like that, but.
No,
they have a guy in just some bunny ears. One of those really creepy Easter costumes.
But who knows? They just announced it, so it's probably going to be like 3 years.
Yeah.
You announced the return of Second Coming.
I did see that as well.
Only Begotten Son.
Only Begotten Son. I was wondering what they were going to name it. Third Coming would have been a little
silly. It looks like it's going to be the origin of Sunstar.
Oh, cool.
Which they released some pages, Superman influence, of course.
What?
On the origin.
That's like the Green Hornet book that ships next week. It's Green Hornet and Kato find a child in a rocket, and they have to protect him from the government agencies trying to get it. I'm like, this sounds vaguely familiar.
To be fair, there is precedent because the Green Hornet and Kato were on the Batman show.
Right.
So it's not the first time that they've been involved.
But darn it, yeah, something happened last week. I forget what it was. A lot of stuff about Warren Ellis. I haven't had time to read through all that, but it's not looking good. Yeah, I really don't want to. Not in deference to him or anything. I don't want to read all this crazy stuff.
Just piling on,
Yeah, just not good.
I don't get why that whole concept of just don't be a scumbag is so difficult.
Yeah. But apparently he's even sending texts in July, so it's like, ugh. Not learning.
That's called Antonio Brown syndrome.
Yeah. But, man, I'm like, oh, I gotta sit and write down all this.
Well, we know that's not gonna happen.
I know.
And that's okay.
I have grand aspirations. I fixed my ice maker. I'm really excited about that. So I now have ice at home, which made me happy.
Do you still have a dead raccoon under your porch?
I still have a dead raccoon under my laundry room. Yes, thank you.
Are you talking about the 2019 numbers? That's the only thing I could think of that was big.
No, it was something, because I remember then I was listening to the Challengers podcast, and they talked about it. I'm like, why didn't we talk about that? Oh, maybe because it happened after.
Okay.
So I don't remember. I have no recollection.
We'll have to go back and listen to it so we can talk about it next week.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I'll remember. Yeah, no problem.
The only thing I remember from last week was they put out the 2019 numbers and said that.
The numbers were good, actually.
Good year.
Yeah.
This year
not so much. This will 2021 is going to be balls to the wall, man. Mm-hmm. It's going to just destroy 2020.
So here's a question, though, because I know at least around here, and so it may or may not be industry wide, but because of what DC did, some stores have either stopped carrying DC comics or they have stopped doing comics altogether.
Yeah, so I know two stores that have stopped doing comics. One because of DC, and
what's
one.
What's that done for your business, though? Has that helped?
It probably will. Not a lot. Like, I'll see a little bit, but for the most part, the old adage goes: every time a store closes, those customers don't all go to other stores. Some of them just leave
comics altogether.
So. But because of that stuff, I definitely see DC's numbers decreasing. You know, I'm not sure what their grand plan was. If it was to sell less books, congratulations. You know, you've accomplished that. So,
unless they assumed that everybody was going to sign up for this new distribution deal.
Right. And I mean, most of us have, but it's definitely not going well so far. These new guys are clearly overwhelmed.
But you know what, though? It would be unfair to judge 2 weeks into
Oh, absolutely.
That,
no, I agree.
We have to give them time to figure it out.
We're kind of out here hanging. You know, I had damages from last week. I still don't know if I'm getting replacements because I've gotten no information.
Well, that's the problem. They should try to figure some of this out before even doing it.
But in order to do that, they would have had to been notified that that's what's happening before it was announced.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't. You can't blame, those guys on what DC.
No,
does.
But DC should have done something more like starting July 1st, and they announced this May 1st. And let everything opposed to announcing on a Friday. This changes effect Monday.
I'm with you. But that's because they did do that, I feel bad.
I totally get it. But the problem is DC's answer to most of this stuff is not our problem. But it's our problem, and
it's
again,
Midtown and DCBS's problem.
Correct, but it's also my problem, and I'm the customer. So,
but you're not their customer.
But I am their customer. I'm the one who sends them the money.
You are.
They don't get your money; they get my money.
You're DCBS's and Midtown's customer.
Kind of, not really, because DC they don't sell me.
DC.
I am, though. Like, when it was at Diamond, Diamond simply, I placed my orders with DC. Diamond was the process. Diamond collected my money, and they were the shipper. They were the UPS. They did not own the product. They were merely there to move the product. They were the distributor.
And I understand that.
Whereas, like, other publishers, let's take smaller ones, like the AWA and stuff. They get so many orders, they go to AWA, okay, we are going to buy these books from you and resell them. Mm-hmm. So then I'm a customer of Diamond's. But in this case, really, Diamond just tells DC what the orders are. DC then sends them X number of books that they are to ship to their customers.
From a customer service standpoint, I feel like whoever I'm sending my money to is who I'm a customer.
Oh, I get it. I get it. But
You don't cut a check directly to DC. You cut it to Diamond.
Correct. But
that is who I would go to if I have a customer service problem, and it's up to them.
And that's the problem is that DCBS or Lunar and UCS don't have any customer service people.
Right. I get that. And but what if either one of them said to DC, we're not doing this anymore.
Right. Then it collapses.
We can't do it. You need to figure something else out. Now what? Because DC ain't going to shut down for 3 months.
Yeah, so I don't know. But that's not my problem. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just ugly. But I was just talking with Jermaine about that. They just announced some second prints that aren't going to be on FOC, on final order cutoff, for us to order. And I honestly don't know how to order them.
Because they're not on FOC.
Correct. And that's the only way I've placed orders so far with the two new distributors. I don't know how to search their websites to find these books, to place the orders. The other horror story I've heard is that somebody placed a reorder for one copy of something that they then shipped for $12 shipping. One comic. So that's
and,
my fear.
And I assume it was a $3 comic.
Yeah, $4 book. Yeah. So that's my fear with them is I don't know how that works. And neither website are very intuitive, or they were set up very quickly. Lots of,
and again, I can't blame them for that.
I can't blame them. No, I can't blame them, but it's how do I place a reorder with you? Who do I ask? Where do, you know, where's your right. You know,
and,
FAQ
and at this
page?
Point, they probably have not hired people and certainly haven't figured out
processes
and procedures for that type of occurrence.
Right.
Even though, in my mind, that's a common occurrence
I agree.
In the industry, and that's,
yep.
that should be one of the first things you figure out.
Yeah. So, and it's like they're both retail. They understand, like, the fact that they don't understand what to do with damages. You've never had damage, you know.
Not on the scale they're talking about.
No, but on an individual, like, they needed pictures of my damages. It's like, okay, but, you know, a lot of damages I get aren't really picturable.
Right.
Like that one batch of books that I got that came wet. I mean, I took a picture of the wet box. But how do you take a picture of
a wavy, wet book,
you know? So
lighting.
Yeah, right. But
really,
then I got to get
really
creative. Right.
Like, you have to take a picture of each individual wet book, too?
Yeah. Like, two of the books I had big creases, but, like, straight on, you could. So I had to take a picture of the book, and you could kind of vaguely see the crease, and then another picture of it at an angle so
you
could see the crease.
Yeah.
And it's like. But, I mean, luckily, for me, it was only four copies, so it's not the end of the world, but it's like. I'd still like them replaced. You know, I paid
right.
for them.
Well,
you
and
know.
You have customers that if you don't get issue four, they probably won't pick up
right.
issue five
right.
or six.
Yeah.
So that was the worst thing. That was that Avengers 33, where half my shipment was damaged and my damage replacements came wet. I'm like, and then the rest went to back order. I'm like, what the hell?
Well, but, you know, they're diamonds, so that's a little bit
right,
different.
Right. And the wet wasn't their fault. That clearly was UPS's.
Yeah.
But. Because they were still wet. You know, it's like it wasn't wet when it left them, and 3 days later I received them wet. You know?
Right, yeah.
I wonder if the Marvel Scholastic deal.
Oh, that might have been it. That might have been it.
Okay. Because was that announced last week, though?
Yeah, late last week.
Because
yeah.
I would think if I'm Scholastic,
yeah.
like, I'm not going to completely fill the, you know, the bookmobile with
no but you do Miles, who just had a huge movie that every kid saw.
No, but I'm saying is I would think that if Marvel has this big exclusive deal with them, they're going to favor those at probably the expense of some of the DC books.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I feel like, you know, they're going to say we need to have, you know,
mm-hmm.
5 to 10 superhero books in the
mm-hmm.
in the bookmobile, and
that's why that was such a huge deal
thing.
Because DC's been clawing and trying to get in there, and Marvel just, like, walks right past them in the door. And I'm just like, wow,
yeah.
that was a huge, huge deal.
But Marvel has Disney behind it.
Yeah.
And right, no.
I mean, it's not the things that Warner Brothers has. Like,
no,
Harry
but
Potter,
DC's been doing it for...
Scholastic,
yeah,
right?
DC's been doing a great job getting all that done, but they couldn't
yeah.
get in that door, and it was just very funny just to see Marvel walk right past them.
Well, they also
and at this point, I kind of enjoy
it. But at the same time, if I'm not going to lose the opportunity to sell Disney by not taking the deal to sell Spider-Man, which, you know, to your point, kids love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I know I can sell that. It's not that they don't like Batman, but...
Well, the problem is they really haven't given us a Batman book. There's been a Nightwing, there's been Robin. You know, Batman isn't really a YA character.
Yeah, which makes no sense. Like, that's another thing I got. HBO's doing the tie-in Gotham City show.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
We just had Gotham, and it wasn't very good.
Like, why do they refuse to do a Batman TV show?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that this Gotham Central was going to include Batman as a character.
I think it just ties into the movie-verse. So, like...
So, Jeffrey Wright will be Commissioner Gordon in the show and all that. You know what, though? I really like Jeffrey Wright, so I'm okay.
Well, and it's HBO, so, like, if it's half as good as The Watchmen, it'll be amazing, right?
It's going to be The Wire.
Yeah.
But they're going to set it in Gotham City.
Yeah.
I'll be all right with that.
And then when they go to Arkham, it's going to be just like Oz.
Hmm.
With only slightly fewer Nazis.
But I would, if they treat Batman kind of like the zombies in Walking Dead, right, where it's like, they're not really in every episode, they're just kind of in the background, but then, like, eventually, but sometimes they, like, have, like, a major impact on the you know.
Well, honestly, if I'm HBO, why am I going to spend, you know, $3 million an episode or whatever it's going to be, if I don't get the character I really want?
Mm-hmm. And I think they want that to sell HBO Max. So I feel like if they don't have, you know, Batman smashing glass or, like, the Batmobile or something in the, you know, the trailer for it, it's not going to sell subscriptions like they want it to.
Yeah, because the whole Snyder cut of Justice League is only going to sell so many.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what else is on that, to be honest.
Well, they took a lot off. It, like, premiered, and then it had, like, a lot of stuff fell off it in the first, like, 2 weeks.
Well, I heard it didn't do good when it first.
Well, the thing is, like, I have HBO through my cable,
mm-hmm.
so I can download the app and use it for free, but, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you pay for it, I think it depends on your provider. I have Comcast, mm-hmm. but through Comcast... You can, it's the same way you would use HBO Go or whatever.
See, it's weird. I have HBO through Hulu, mm-hmm. but it doesn't get me the DC stuff. I had to download an app on my phone, and I guess I can only watch it on my phone, which seems dumb. Yeah.
I got to see how
that's,
I can do
that. That's exactly why I haven't watched anything off it.
That's
why,
like, I can see if I can do that, because, like, I want to watch Doom Patrol and Titans.
Yes, you do.
But... I'm not going to get HBO, or I'm not going to get HBO Max for it, and I wasn't going to get the DC app for it. So, but if I'm already paying for HBO anyway, and they let me do that, then maybe I will.
Yeah, I think eventually it'll get to the point where, like, it's just there on demand if you're paying for it, but who knows.
Just trying to find it again. Where did I download it? But I know I had, because I Googled, I'm like, how do I do this? And it's like, well, you just have to do da-da-da-da-da. There we go. There we go, HBO Max. Yeah, it's an app. Okay. But I'm like, I don't want to watch it on my phone.
But can you do it, like, if you have a Roku, can you watch it on your Roku?
I think you can.
Maybe, like, can I go from my phone? Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you'd have to, like, authorize it on your computer, probably.
Oh, maybe, on a Roku I might be able to. You're right, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because I'm just saying, if you do it that way, then you can watch it on your TV.
No. Yeah, okay, good point. Just complicated. Because, I was noticing that none of the DC stuff was there. Doom Patrol has been so good this year. Oof. Season 1 was good, but season 2...
I want to watch it, but it wasn't... Not enough that I was going to get the DC app for it. Yeah. Especially not when, we got all this stuff coming out, but we're canceling it all. Well, okay.
But it's like they sent us a poster for Doom Patrol, and on the top it says Max Presents. It's like, not even DC Presents. Just Max.
Who's Max?
So no, but Goodwin, it was the Scholastic. That's what that was, because that is that's a big deal for that.
Yeah, what percentage of, like, kids' books get sold through Scholastic?
Oh, a ton.
It's like 20%.
Oh, at least, if not more, probably more. Because I don't sell many. I sell some. I mean, I do fine.
Yeah.
But when I'm seeing these numbers of 1 million copies sold, that's all.
When a new Dogman comes out, do you have people coming in for it?
Yes, a little bit. It's more a case of people coming and go, oh, look, they have Dogman. But remember, Scholastic is those little pamphlets they give out in the elementary school that you go home and circle and send in. Or the book fairs. Huge money.
I remember the packets, but I remember.
Oh, yeah. I used to order from that thing every...
I was all about that.
Oh, my God. Before. That was... When they handed those out, that was the best day ever.
It's the only way to get Dynamite Magazine,
too. Yeah. But no, so, I mean, that, for me, as a reader kid, that was heaven, that stuff.
Yep.
And they get in, you get your little rubber band thing of books, and man, it was awesome. But my problem is, how do I tell those kids I have the book? DC's not telling them I have these kids' books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. How do I advertise to elementary kids or middle school kids? They're not looking at my social media.
You have to hope their dad brings
it. Right, and that's it. And see, you know, and every parent that asks, you know, they see how much I have, so I have what you're looking for. But my problem is DC's not out there saying, "Hey, go to their, you know, go to the store. They have it." So that's my problem with all that. That's where the Scholastic part of it is so huge. Because if Dogman wasn't in those situations, it wouldn't. You know, if you could only get it on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, it wouldn't be doing nearly as well as it is. It's because it got in with that stuff. So that's why that's such a big deal, because DC has just been struggling and fighting, trying to claw to do something with that, getting in with libraries and things like that. And that's why me and Marvel just went, oh, yeah, Scholastic. Yeah, we'll see. You know, you want some of our books? And that instantly gets into the libraries and everything.
But I feel like that's their own fault, because if it was...
Yeah, it did. How hard did DC fight?
Yeah.
Like, or were they stubborn going, we're going to do it our way?
Or it may be a point thing where it's like, you know, DC may want 5 points and Disney's willing to say, we'll take 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get you. Okay, good. I'm like, that. There was something big that happened. I can't remember because
it was last week.
It's all the drinking.
And by all the drinking, you mean not enough?
Pretty much, yeah. I have ice now, though.
Nice.
There'll be a lot more drinking. Oh, sorry. I fixed my ice maker. I'm very proud of myself. But just with it being hot, and you get home and, you know, you just pour the drink out of the fridge, it only stays cold so long, and then after a while you're drinking lukewarm.
I get you.
So I'm very happy. Yeah, I can't think. No news here. It's nice to have Marvel back. Marvel has been very, very thin since we reopened. Very thin product line and alternating every week, every other week. So it was like...
Even like the first real week of
this
books
was the first, yeah, started. Yeah, this was the first full week of Marvel, which was very, very nice.
I actually got a Marvel book this week.
So. There you go. Dynamite hasn't slowed down. We got some good Image. We got Gideon Falls this week, so that's always a good one. There's an issue. The last issue of the second run of Old Guard came out. I don't know. Anybody watch that? Yeah.
Okay. I haven't.
That was good. I enjoyed it. I never read it, but I really like Charlize Theron, so I watched it. It was good. I had a good weekend watching stuff. It was like Sunday. I just kind of checked out. I watched that. I watched Palm Springs on Hulu with Andy Samberg. That was really good. And then I caught up on Perry Mason, which is...
Perry Mason is awesome.
It is. I'm like, I need to do some investigation on that, because I always thought, wasn't that Raymond Burr is the attorney?
Yeah,
I'm very confused.
Well, the guy's losing his
mind. Yeah,
oh so.
Yeah, at the end of the last episode, yeah.
I have a ton of theories about that.
Okay, because I know, you know, Perry Mason and Della Street and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm just watching going, this isn't what I at least have a vague recollection of what the TV show was. And I know I have a copy of a book that I think was my grandmother's that's somewhere in my basement of
Perry Mason.
Yeah, I forget the writer's name. Yeah. Gardner, Earl Stanley Gardner, I think.
Well, the TV show ran for like forever.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But it was him older.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. But it's been excellent.
Yeah.
A little graphic.
Yeah.
Some of the head face damage was a little.
Yeah.
That was. I'm not good with that stuff.
Did you watch what was the other one? The Stephen King one.
No, because I want to read those first.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another one where, like, in the first episode of that, there's a really graphic thing.
Okay.
And then in this one, there's a really hauntingly graphic thing.
Because this one had a guy took a shotgun under his chin and he's poking around his face.
Oh, that's not even the worst part to me.
Okay.
I thought the...
Oh, the baby? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was awful.
That was really disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. it starts off with this baby being kidnapped, and then the parents get the baby and they realize that the eyes have been sewn open.
Ah.
And it was but the thing with the teeth,
when Perry Mason takes the... he takes the thread out.
Yeah.
He's going to try to identify the thread as like a clue.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Where's the thread from? And they show that.
Yeah.
Like, he puts it in a matchbox and he's walking around with the matchbox, and it's just like,
it's been good. But it, man, I wonder, just in my, I'm watching the production and it's excellent and all these old cars, and I'm like, why would you want to do a period piece? Just the amount of money you have to spend in clothing and wardrobe. And
I wonder if a lot of that's got to be reused from Boardwalk Empire or something like that.
Maybe.
Do they just, have they just like invested enough in a certain period of time?
Could be. But I just watching all of it, I'm just like, man, just the money spent just on that would make me not want to do a period piece.
But it may also be a situation where if you bring in, you know, modern technology into it, it pokes holes. Right?
Oh, sure, well, sure.
Know,
that's like,
they could DNA analyze that.
Yeah.
You know,
as most people know, I'm watching Columbo most of the time, and a cell phone would destroy almost every one of these cases.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, almost every 90s sitcom is destroyed.
Yeah,
you just,
yeah.
You know, look something up or call somebody.
Although I will say, a later episode with William Shatner, a Columbo, a cell phone was a key thing, because he said he received a phone call when he was in a certain area, and Columbo realized there was no service in that area, and that was part of the reason he caught him. But it was just so funny on some of these, you know, just the ability to take a picture real quick. Or,
yeah.
Okay, well, we've gotten off the beaten path. Holy cow, over the place. But yeah, if you have HBO, watch Perry Mason. It's been excellent. And it's funny that the very last Columbo episode, I don't know if it was the bad guy, but at least one of the people in it was Perry Mason, the actor, Matthew Reese. Oh, okay. So just funny. Somebody did a screenshot.
Wasn't he the guy that was in The Americans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he's excellent. The whole thing is excellent. His girlfriend is fascinating to me, but
it's because she's naked half the time.
She is quite naked, but she's
that's fascinating.
I guess a Mexican, because this takes place in Los Angeles. But just just everything about her. Every time she's on screen, I'm just like fascinated.
Who is it?
No idea.
I don't know. She's she's older than him.
Yes,
but like she's very like worldly, I guess.
Yeah, and not like horribly attractive, but. It just odd, but I'm just I'm fascinated just the way she behaves. Just really good, really really good, outstanding.
Yeah, everybody in that's really
good. Lithgow has been excellent, Jimmy James has been excellent. Good. And it's funny, the wife is. Did you watch Glow?
A little bit.
Okay, she's the wolf girl. So that just blew my mind when I was watching that. I'm like, wait a minute.
I only watched like an episode of Glow.
Okay, but the wolf girl, she was kind of...
Yeah, I don't think I got to the wolf girl.
Oh, really? Okay, that was really...
Yeah, because she was in the
episode. Oh, wasn't she? Okay. But, yeah, just really, really good. Oh, even the guy from Terminator 2 is in it.
Patrick...
Robert Patrick.
Yeah, so just you're seeing all these people, and it's just like, wait a minute. And Tatiana Maslany, it took me why I had to Google it, because I'm like, she's so familiar, but I couldn't figure out who she was.
We're from Black.
Yeah, but I'm like, she is so familiar, but I cannot place her. So, okay, let's get back on track. Pat?
Yeah?
Did you read any comical book? And no questions, I'm sorry. Let me check. I did forget to ask. Got a stupid phone that needs Face ID wearing a mask. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
I assume that you're talking about...
No questions. I forgot to ask. My bad.
Gibbs, is that the girlfriend's name?
Oh, that could be. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know her.
I don't know her name. I have no idea what her character name is.
The actress is Veronica Falcone. I'm trying to look to see what she's been in. It doesn't look like it's anything I've seen. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Pat.
Yes.
What'd you read?
Bunch of Batman books, so you have a choice. Yeah.
Batman?
Yeah.
Not familiar with this Batman character. I read 7. Yes.
Man. Totally blew me away. So, I read Batman 94.
I read that. Yeah. I like that better than 93.
Okay. I can understand.
Because I...
we tore it apart, but I still enjoyed
well,
93.
They explain why he could reanimate people. That made sense.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the holes we had with 93.
Joker doesn't have a zombie machine.
Yeah.
You know, we get that Catwoman is still alive, and which, again, I knew she wasn't dead because there's no way they're going to do that.
But didn't he shoot her in the head?
No, I thought he shot her in the side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, really...
It was kind of off panel, but not really.
Okay.
And I don't think he didn't do that. I thought Punchline did that.
Yeah, Punchline.
Yeah, Punchline was one.
But they didn't touch on Harley. I don't know if we have to read Harley 75 or something like that to know what happens with her.
Well, yeah, I mean, they slit her throat, but to be fair, they also slit the Penguin's throat.
Right, like, he was fine too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus, you guys got to do it right.
Can't go a little deeper.
Yeah. I thought it was okay. And the other problem is because I also read Detective Comics.
They run together.
Yeah, I don't remember which one was which.
But the one thing I did like about in the beginning of this issue was whenever Bruce was chasing down the detective, like the greatest detective there ever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and just like that kind of stuff was, you know, was interesting.
And then, like I said, I read Detective Comics, which was a prelude to the Joker War, which, again, I hate when they do them both in the same week because it blends together and I don't remember which is which.
And I read them out of order. I should have read Detective first and then 94. And I read them.
I think I did the same thing.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, because in 94, Batman's got this... His big whatchamacallit on his leg, a big bandage on his leg, and then in the next book he didn't have it, so it's like, okay, this is clearly before that.
Well, they just didn't bother.
But they, I think it's good that they're bringing back the Court of Owls and actually making that.
Well, Lincoln March was an interesting character anyway. I don't remember if they actually answered whether or not that was in fact Bruce's brother or not.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, because it was the first arc from New 52.
Yeah, and they brought back the Gordon suit too.
No, yeah,
from that run.
Yeah,
Two-Face.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, let's ignore all the Tom King stuff and go back to the Greg Capullo stuff, and Snyder.
Yeah, although I mean, I would have left out the back Gordon stuff because that really wasn't good.
Yeah.
Maybe Mr. Bloom will make his comeback. I know it was Colin's favorite part of that run.
I just don't understand it.
I don't think anybody did.
The cold room was cool.
Yeah.
Was that one or was that 94?
I think that was Detective.
Okay.
I'm not feeling Lucius Fox as the new Alfred.
And it was a little weird when he was like, he was helping Batman, but then he was like immediately captured by the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Batman left, he was like, So.
Well, but it, in this story anyway, the Joker knows who Bruce is.
Yeah.
So that's really not that far off. And knowing that Alfred's dead, who else is going to be helping Bruce? It has to be Lucius Fox. So I get how that would happen.
It's just from a pure timing standpoint and how easily he got it, you know, I feel like that's where, like, give me a couple parents, you know, panels where, you know, he's fleeing. Well, he's fleeing because, you know, Batman tells him, you know, get out of town, effectively, you know. But there's no, like, he's you know, trying to get away and fails. Like, it's just, you know, they just kind of shortcut that in a way that was a little awkward to me. But
Or you know, have him go to his private jet, and when they get in the air, the stewardess comes out, and it's the Joker, and the stewardess's outfit, something like that. That, you know.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Amuse me.
And it's because it's the kind of thing where this Joker War is going to be 20 issues with tie-ins?
With tie-ins, yeah, something like that.
So, like, you know, you can take those little character moments and do that stuff. But,
yeah. And the last thing I read was Deceased Dead Planet number 1.
I read that.
I thought that was interesting. I think we're 5 years after the events of the original deceased. John is now taking over the mantle. Superman, Damian is Batman. They still bicker and fight like brothers.
Cassidy's Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Diana Lance is still the Green Lantern. And
there was a line about Damian, and they were like, you know, no killing or something, and he was like, oops. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Damian was always going to be a different kind of Batman, so that's okay. But they get a signal from Earth, and it's just in Morse code, it's JL, and they figure that it's Cyborg because they're using some kind of transponder that Batman, the original Batman, Bruce, had put into Cyborg. So they, you know, fly to Earth, and, you know, you have that little character moment with Ali and you know, I guess she's the Green Canary now. As that moment's going on, it's like, okay, I know one of them's going to die. Because they're having this character moment, it has to happen.
Yeah,
because
Ollie's, like, the only one who's like, no, why go back? Like, why go back now?
Right.
But he won't everybody else.
He's not going to be the one to say it.
Yeah.
I'm the one guy without powers. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. So, you know, they get down to Earth and are immediately attacked. And it's, you know, Wonder Woman attacks and rips Ollie, like, rips part of his face off.
I think, like, through the chest or something.
Right, but then she grabs his face and does whatever. But they have a magic sword, because of course they do. And when they go to kill Wonder Woman, John jumps in the way and takes the sword, I guess in the shoulder, and says, hey, there's a cure, we were wrong the whole time.
Yeah, because he's doing the fight, he's, like, reading, like, the whatever the thing that Cyborg is spitting out. And, yeah, he jumps in front of the blade.
I don't know. I've liked the deceased stuff so far. Yeah. You know, there was nothing wrong with this, so we'll continue on and see where it goes. But it wasn't... It's not that odd of a premise. Like, the hook is not in that. The hook is more, I enjoyed the other two series, so I'm going to see where this goes. But if this was the first thing I've read, there was nothing to make me go, this is going to be really good.
Yeah. I also would have thought then, like, they might do it a little bit later in the series, but, like, a little bit, I would have liked to see a little bit more of the, you know, Verse 2.
Right.
A little bit. Like,
there's President Lois Lane.
Yeah, like, I think what the, like, I think this issue should have been mostly that, and, like, it ended with them getting the distress call, and then next issue is them going, you know what I mean?
But I think this is only a 3-issue.
Oh, is it?
I think so, and that's, because that's all the rest, was. Yeah, Unkillables was, and that might be why.
Well, maybe. I didn't realize that.
That's what I read.
I read X-Force number 10. So this was a very confusing book. But, like, not even confusing, but just almost, like, pointless. So the... Did you read this?
No.
So in the last issue, they went to this island where this Terra... Something Terra Verde, I think, is what the island's called. It's like it's meant to be like a country. Well, they're like, they had made this plant technology to kind of mimic what Krakoa was doing, and things went awry, and this like the island had basically been taken over by plants that were like related to this plant god, and so they send at the end of the last issue. They send the X-Force in, but they just send Domino, Kid Omega, who I really, really hate, and Wolverine in. And then they basically get in there and just get split up and completely fail. So they take send Black Tom, who has been talking to Krakoa, like, constantly, mm-hmm. and he's just, like, sick of it. So they're like, oh,
you got to go to talk to somebody
stop
else?
Stop talking to this plant island to go talk to that plant island and set things straight. And he gets there and does nothing. And then Jean Grey comes and saves them all. And then at the end of the issue, we see Jean and Wolverine having some, like, hot tub time together. So it's like...
Scott wasn't even around?
Scott wasn't around, but, like, they have hinted that, like, there's, like, a, you know, they've got the adjacent doors and yeah. X-Men issue, so, like, you know, maybe Jean is in a three-way with him, or, you know, we don't really know what the...
polyamorous relationship.
Yeah, nature of that relationship is, though, so...
I still think no matter what, Scott's the one in the middle.
Yeah. So.
You loved it.
It was. It's just like all the stuff that's been happening, and we're fighting plant monsters. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like okay, you have the.
It'll be a little more ironic after you read this week's book.
Yeah. What?
It'll be a little more ironic.
More plants. Mm. Is that what you're saying? Oh. But like. The idea of a like an island that has a competing plant technology, that is far more interesting than just, oh, it went bad and killed everybody and now we got plant monsters. So it's like, I just feel like this is not, it's not written with like a deft hand whatsoever. Same thing with like the you know, the Scott Summers, the love triangle between Wolverine, Jean, and Scott. It's like, you know, if you want to put that in there, actually, like, explore it. Don't just give us a, you know, them in a hot tub and assume. So maybe that'll come out later, but I don't know. Just, it's very uninteresting right now. Other thing I read, and I don't think anybody else probably read, but it's, what was it? Superman 23?
Nope.
this was good because it tied in with the Wonder Twins a little bit. The Wonder Twins mm-hmm. show up, that same kind of relationship there, but it's Bendis writing it, so it wasn't like
it didn't have that
Mark Russell tone to it. So they show up and it's good that like we still see that like they're still at the Hall of Justice or whatever.
But, they're still interns or
yeah, like, and I don't know if at the end of that though didn't they leave or were they still interns?
I thought they were still interns.
I think they're still there, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it makes sense that they're still there. Superman meets with them. He meets with Justice League Dark for a second. He's looking for Dr. Fate. And he finds the new Dr. Fate, who I didn't even know there was a new Dr. Fate, but he takes his helmet off, and he's this really young black guy where I have no idea where...
That. Isn't that from back when they did the Dr. Fate series during DCU?
Because Dr. Fate changes all the time, right? So, anyway, he basically has a therapy session with the new Dr. Fate and explains basically like, yeah, I'm actually not doing all right with my identity being out and with my son being effectively aged up. Right, I sent him away with my father, and he comes back, and he's grown up, and now he's too old that I can't tell him what to do. But like, I feel like I, you know, missed out. So that was good because it's something that I don't think they've addressed. But then the main villain in this, they introduce a new character who is new to me at least, Xanadoth. It looks like Xanadu, but they added a TH. And
Xanadoth.
Yeah. So it's Xanadoth, and Xanadoth is this like flaming fire monster or god kind of looking thing, and he is looking for Dr. Fate's helmet. So that's kind of where they left it off. But I think that's all I read that we hadn't, you know, other people have talked about. So.
I'll talk about Oblivion Song number 25. So at the end of this issue, it kind of is wrapping up like the kind of big first story arc with like the humans dealing with like these creatures from the there's a the Oblivion dimension where they teleport from, and how because after a while the people who originally got transferred over there, they liked it over there, so they stayed, but they ended up getting kidnapped by the creatures over there, so they got the government was trying to send people over to rescue them. And during all that, one of the main characters, Nate, gets left behind. And so this issue picks up after that, but it's been 3 years since then. And he's actually living and working with some of the creatures, because not all of them are these terrible people, and they're trying to recreate the tech that, you know, Nate uses to transport back and forth. Before the other people do, before the other creatures can invade Earth and try to take over, which towards the end of this issue they find out that they're getting ready to invade. So now they're gonna have to stop them. Because this was a big oversized anniversary issue, then there was a couple page origin story about how, if you've ever read the book, Nate has this weird cloth hoodie cape thing that he wears, and it's kind of the origin of how he got that. And then at the very end, you had to flip it over and you got an issue of Science Dog, which I guess was something that they would do in the Invincible book. Every 20 issues they would do an issue of this. So I guess that's kind of their kind of homage to that.
So does that book take place in the Invincible universe?
Oblivion Song?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know if it was the far future of that universe or something like that.
Again, I actually just started to dive into Invincible. I'm only three volumes in.
Okay.
So
you got to the twist.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's been a pretty good series, Oblivion Song. The Flash 757. This issue opens up with the splash page of the Flash snapping reverses Flash's neck. Well, no, this time it's Flash doing it to Reverse Flash instead of Reverse Flash always. So it's kind of a reverse on that.
Oh.
But it's only kind of this weird vision thing. Barry is trying to, he's always been doing in the series, is trying to push the Wallace and Iris and all of his other ones away, because he's worried that Reverse Flash is going to try to get him through them instead of trying to accept their help to try to defeat them. But so a lot of the different the Trickster and Total and all these new group members of the Reverse Flash family all kind of attacking at once, and it's kind of leaving Barry at odds and on what to do, and it's really kind of pushing him to his limits. But it's been another solid, I think there's only one more story arc after that, one or two more story arcs until Joshua Williams wraps up his run. So I'll be interested to see how he sticks the landing, and hopefully it will be pretty good. And then the last one I'll talk about is Justice League 48.
I read that.
It was okay. I didn't like the art. The art was very basic.
I didn't like anything about it. Because I'm like, this is Cy Spurrier doing this? Yeah. It's like, okay, give us your best Justice League story. And it's filler. Granted, Justice League is taking place, camp because of Dark Knight, Death Metal, and all that.
But at least the Vendetti books were at least good, and I don't want to say good, you know, with these are bad, but, like, they were more entertaining, like, you know, at least there was, like, an engaging story.
Yeah, this was just generic as generic could be.
And, like, why, like, Wonder Woman had some kind of weird helmet out and out, like, out in space.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, a lot of weirdness I did. And, like I said, I thought the art was very, like, I know neither studio, like, neither company has, like, a house style, but it seems like what, like, a house style would be, just kind of very basic and bland. But it's basically them finding this ship that has these, like, glowing white creatures on them, and they go and try to save them, and then they're trying to get them to, like, the Justice League to be, like, their protectors.
Right,
and, like,
they get the kids
them.
Back, and the planet has overthrown the queen who would send the kids away. And now they don't want to rule themselves. They want the Justice League to rule them, but the Justice League doesn't want to do that.
Well, Superman's almost kind of weirdly okay with it.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, oh, you know, I kind of get it.
Yeah, it just really felt like blah.
Yeah.
And I would just remember thinking, you know, like, anybody could have written this. Mm. And I was just like, this is your shot to write Justice League, and this is what you did?
Yeah, especially considering the guy, because I haven't read a lot of side your stuff, just because, like, the books he's written, I haven't been interested, like, in Marvel and stuff.
He's killing it on Hellblazer.
Yeah.
You're wondering why I highlighted those two?
Yes.
They just made me laugh.
Oh, okay.
But that's it.
That's it. Okay. Well, I think Dave read this one, so I'm going to start with this one. X-Men God Loves, Man Kills. This is, they're redoing the original graphic novel.
How many
times? That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
was that
in small? It's two issues with a new opening thing and a closing thing. And the opening thing was dumb. It was like some girl sitting there and Kitty Pryde shows up and it's, you know, oh, I understand what you're saying. Let me tell you this story about something that happened to me. And then it's literally just starts the graphic novel. The opening I just thought was...
So
nothing.
Let me. God Loves, Man Kills was the basis for X2, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So it was like Wolverine's origin and.
No, not. Well, I don't think it was Wolverine. It was more.
Well,
Professor
was
X goes
was.
On, like, he's debating Stryker and.
Okay, but it's the Stryker story.
Yeah.
It's Senator Kelly.
Oh, that's right, yeah. But it all felt very, very timely. Like, I don't think could have planned this to be. This time, I don't think, because I think this was planned before the quarantine and everything.
Yeah.
But, and definitely the racial stuff, it all comes into play in this. But
yeah, you would think with
I forgot how good it
going
was.
On, that X-Men would have a resurgence.
Yeah. But my problem with it is I sold out quickly and Marvel had no more copies. And I'm like, how were we supposed to order this?
It's a reprint.
It's a reprint of a...
But it's extended, right?
It's an extended reprint of something that came out 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing. I think it's $5 or $6 an issue. They did four or five covers. It's like, I thought I had enough.
And the other thing is, the trade for that is super cheap.
Yeah.
It's like a $10 trade.
Right. And it's just... It's like... And the fact when I couldn't get more, I'm like... Okay, I guess I should be happy I sold out. Now I maximized my profit on it.
The way I always kind of understood it was like that never kind of really like necessarily tied in to like the actual like X-Men.
Correct. Yeah.
Like it was just kind of like its own like.
Yeah, but it was very, very good. And then, it started with Kitty getting into a fight with somebody at the dance studio with, what's her name? Bobby. Is that her name?
I think so.
But yeah, there was just a lot going on with it that was really, really good. I greatly enjoyed it, but yeah, it had been
a
long time.
Read the other half?
I will read the other half, yeah, because I want to finish. But it was really good. And like Professor X goes on TV and gets his butt handed to him because the fear mongering is better than rational thought. You know, just it's playing on everything that's happening right now in the news. It was just the timing was really. Something.
When did that come out originally then?
I want to say mid-80s.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, would you want Marvel to do more reprints like that? Because it sounds like that would sell better for you than, you know, if they put out a extended edition trade. I don't think that would
get a bunch of people. No, and like I said, the extra stuff they added was blah.
Yeah.
I could have lived without it. something like this that's this important, I don't want to say just, I mean, honestly, like those Marvel Tales big, thick, eek dollar books, you know, just something to make it a little more readily available. But I was really impressed by it. Now, like, I didn't read the Marvels one that they did where they added stuff to it, so I don't know how well that one went. But yeah, this one I enjoyed. Empire Fantastic 4-0.
I read that too.
This was the Fantastic Four in outer space. Shocking. And they come across... They, like, ran out of gas, basically.
Yeah.
And they got towed to this one place, and it turns out that at this... whatever, spaceship, space dock area, the Collector's sister...
Grandmaster's sister.
The Grandmaster's sister, Profiteer, has a Kree and a Skrull that are in constant battle. And somebody will decide what famous place that the Kree and the Skrull fought, and these two have to fight it, and then they take bets on who's going to win. So the Fantastic Four, of course, have to rescue them. It turns out they're really young children. And they... Sue goes invisible, and they end up winning all the casino games and win all the money, so they basically, like, buy the kids, I guess. I forget how it worked exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had all the money, and they leave. Ben lost his glove. I don't know where that glove came from, but...
Oh, yeah, that was from a fight with the Hulk.
Okay.
In one of the previous issues.
Okay.
What are they, Hulk hands?
No, yeah, it was like a cast. But it was made cast, out of some metal that was valuable. But so they, and then they just leave and head back to Earth with these two, a Kree and a Skrull. You know, it's a foreshadowing to Empire. Dun, dun, dun. It was fine. It was important because I'm sure these kids are going to play a role in Empire. So it was setting that up.
Apparently their origin is in the issue of Fantastic Four that came out today.
Oh, okay. I was halfway through it when that, I had to leave to come here.
But apparently the Profiteer is... She wants to keep the Kree-Skrull war going.
Right, because so she made money. Because she's not just the Profiteer. Yeah. She's the War Profiteer.
Yeah.
And then the last one I'll talk about, I did not like at all.
What other kind of Profiteers are there?
I know.
I was kind of wondering...
I don't know, but like, she made a big thing about saying, I'm not just the Profiteer, I'm the War Profiteer.
Oh, well, no, I would also argue, like, with what's going on now...
Yeah.
You know, people gouging.
Yeah.
That would also be profiteering.
But I read one. It was by Scout. I ordered 10 of them because there was a 1 in 10 Jay Lee variant that I had a feeling might go for big bucks. And, of course, it came in damaged and isn't getting replaced. So it's going to be a hard sell selling these books. Everglade Angels by Scout. Written by Scott Lobdell, which is your first warning. And art by I don't know. And it's basically a story. Like, there, it starts off with this girl... running in the Everglades and this thing stopping her, like a guy in like a big hoodie and gas mask type face type thing. Then it switches to the softball game and there's all these girls talking, you know, smack on one another, and one hits a home run, and it turns out before every at bat she takes a drink of her special juice that everybody says smells real bad. And then the game's over and they head out and they have to stop for gas or something, and the guy working the gas station mentions there's a rave, so the one girl decides to go, let's go to the rave, and they show up, and it's completely dark, and nobody's there, and they're like, what are you doing? Why are we here? Oh, because that's how raves are. They don't want you to know what's actually happening or something. And then they start getting attacked by these same people speaking this weird language, and one of them starts fighting it, and the rest are deciding, should they go in and help? And then one of them takes a swig, was thirsty, and takes a swig of that girl stuff and gets all powered up and goes and beats everybody up. And then she gets very, very tired. And, like, that's where it ended. But the art was not that great, and the story was just kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense. So that's it for me. I read one more, but I'm going to give it to Dave because I know he read it.
Adventure Man.
No, I didn't get that. I didn't read that one yet.
Adventure Man number 2. This this continues the story. The first issue, they got a book from this mysterious woman, and it's an Adventure Man story that they never read before. So in this issue, Claire and her son Tommy, they're looking at the book more closely, and it has the address for Adventure Man's headquarters, and it's the same address as the book publisher. So Claire decides to investigate. So she gets on her bike and takes a ride downtown New York City. And there's a big skyscraper, and she's like, "This is weird. I've never really noticed a skyscraper before." But it turns out she's the only one who can see it. And the passersby, when they look at this place, it's just like a dilapidated building. So she goes to try to get in, and there's no doorknob on the door, but she does make her way in, and she fights. There's some like robot security guards in there. It's good. The characterization is excellent of this okay. of this Claire woman, but I guess it's a good thing. It still leaves me wanting more. They have some flashbacks to some of the. Because that Adventure Man stuff in the first issue was really good.
Yes, I love the beginning, and then I got bogged down in the middle.
There was a little bit of that. There's a little bit of that, and it started off with, I think, something under the sea with Adventure Man.
Okay.
Which was really good. So we'll see how, hopefully, I'm assuming, you know, these two worlds are going to come together somehow, which I'm interested to see. And the other one, which one were you talking about?
Ash and Thorn.
Oh, Ash and Thorn. Yeah, I did read that.
I figured.
What did you think of that?
It was okay. I didn't like the art.
Just okay, yeah.
Yeah, I thought the art was poor. It was okay. It was more her, you know, learning about herself. And then, like, this little imp showed up.
Yeah.
Like, they were trying to reach the Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever they called them. And it turns out they left because this Earth was doomed. So they left, and so now these guys are just trying to fight it out.
I'm biased because there's the part of the book where she goes to the town meeting, the council meeting, and I sat when I was writing
right,
the paper.
Right, right.
I sat through like so many horrible council
and like this guy. Yeah, so there's this pit that opened up last issue, and this guy's building a community center over it. I don't know if you noticed, but as he's up there talking, the shadows behind him are all these, like, tentacle-y things.
Yeah.
So it's like he's not what he appears to be type of thing.
Oh, I don't think I noticed that. I'll have to look back. Okay.
But, yeah, I'm not...
Yeah.
Not thrilled with it. I still don't know who they are. Like, her name is Thorn, but who's Ash? And that's one question that hasn't been answered yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you there. And... One more Red Finger Guns, number 3. With Wes and Sadie with their finger guns, who can get you agitated or calm you down. And
we know what they'll do to Pat.
And Sadie...
You have to be more concerned about what I do to them.
In this issue, Sadie, she figures out when she puts her finger over her... You know, her clenched fist like this, she feels something different. She wants to test it out on somebody to see what happens. So they decide on Wes's dog, Chester. So she goes bang to the dog, and the dog leaps up in the air. So they decide that it makes the person brave, or the dog brave. So Sadie, she has an abusive dad, so she wants to go home and do this, try this on her mom. And it's really weird because it's like, it's kind of a cartoony book, but there's some violent parts in this where the father is, you know, confronting the mother. And she does try it on her mom. She becomes brave for a few minutes and then it wears off. But I kind of want more with explanation of their powers, but it's more of a character piece, and I'm okay with that, with both of these kids' troubled family lives. And that's all I got.
Okay. Well, that's all we have for tonight.
I mean, well, Then what's coming out next week, Colin?
Lots of stuff. Pat was looking over the invoice, and he's like, why did you highlight these? Well, these are a couple canceled books. I just thought it was funny that Vampire Dad number one was canceled, and so was Assassin and Son number one. So I just thought that was
good. Okay.
So you got Vampire Dad and then Assassin Dad. So. But they're not coming. Sorry. Womp womp. Okay, so we have Amazing Spider-Man Sins Rising Prelude, which is kind of annoying. Why don't you just include this in the regular run of Spider-Man? Why does it have to be a special?
Now I don't have to buy it.
Yeah, so it's just... Bliss number one. This one's from Image. I don't remember specifically what that is. Chew number one. This is about Tony Chu from the book Chu, his sister, where he... If he eats something, he can tell, like, if there's blood, he can tell how that person was killed. Her thing is, she knows, if she eats with you, she knows your secrets. And so she's a criminal. Daredevil 21 is next week. I'm looking forward to that, because that has been really good. Empire 2, because this one's weekly. So the fun part is, because there's so many tie-ins, they also have to ship very, very quickly.
Oh, wow.
So... We're getting Empire Avengers, Empire X-Men. We're getting the free comic book day Spider-Man Venom number one that's supposed to lead into some stuff. The Green Hornet that I talked about number one is next week. Sneak it has a Lee Weeks cover, which is well, one of the covers is Lee Weeks. Hellions number two, so we're finally getting some more X-books. Lords of Empire, Emperor Hulkling. Pat, we got the Man Who Effed Up Time number four, just for you. New Mutants 11, Power Rangers Ranger Slayer, for all the Power Rangers people. Red Sonja 17, and I just counted. I have 19 covers coming. Yes.
Wow.
That's a good use of resources. Star Wars is back a little bit with Dr. Aphra number 2. Vengeance of Vampirella only has 15 covers next week. Wolverine... is next week. Wind number 2, that's the one by James Tynion from Boom. And X-Men Fantastic Four number 4, so we'll see how that wraps up. Just kind of interesting with Franklin playing a role in the Empire that he's such a big part of this too. And the weird thing I noticed in the Empire stuff, he's got black hair. I always thought he was a blonde kid. So
He dyed it in the Fantastic Four.
Oh, did he? Okay. Yeah, because all of a sudden Empire, he's got black hair, and I'm just like...
He's rebelling.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I was very confused by that.
It was like, wasn't it a couple different colors before? Like, didn't he try to do like some purple or some weird color? Blue, things like that?
Yeah. Okay. So that's what we got going on. Still not sure about book club, so we're holding off on that. We're doing Boom Month this month, all month long. Double points on all Boom graphic novels. As always, you can reach me at the website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. We'll go with Brandon this week.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.
Bye.